Hello listeners, welcome to Business Line Podcast. This is your host, Anjana. In our latest episode of the Business Line Podcast, I spoke to Navneet Kaur, founder and CEO of Femtech India, to understand the world of Femtech sector in our country. In this conversation, Kaur unpacks some of the insights from the upcoming Femtech India report, offering a sneak peek into the state of the market for women's health and wellness products in the country. Be prepared to be enlightened as Kaur delves into the research process that went behind the making of this report. She also tells us on the long-standing neglect and underfunding of women's health initiatives. But fear not, amidst all these challenges, there's a silver lining as Kaur reveals the immense potential for growth and investments in the femtech sector, which is driven by increased awareness, digitalization, and government support. So grab your headphones and get ready for a great conversation into Femtech's role in shaping India's healthcare landscape. One of the very basic questions that I have is, what is the basis of this research and how did you go about the research process as a whole?
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be on the show to talk about Femtech, which many people get confused with other categories, which is FinTech. Those who are very new, I think I would also like to explain that the Femtech stands for female health technology. So there are a lot of companies in India now who are working towards solving women's health problems. So yeah, I'll kickstart with the question you asked. We've been leading this cause in India from almost a year and a half now. And what I've noticed is for too long that women's health or women's overall category has been under-researched, underfunded, and nobody has really paid close attention to this specific health problems. And when not just India, like not just globally, but even in India, right? So of course, the category is really new and there's not a lot of information out there. You see startups are doing great work. They are creating awareness. We are also, but when we talk about industry perspective, how is the landscape evolving? Like one of the main thing was why we conducted this research is, you know, we don't see women's health in investor thesis. Okay. Even India. So you will see all the categories booming, you know, even in media sector, even all industries are being highlighted. But women's health in Femtech doesn't really exist. So how do we, our overall mission at Femtech India has always been drive the, you know, industry growth, but also bring the funding into the sector. So I think, of course, we did not just start it immediately. Team and I, we've been working on this from past 6 months. And I was very clear because, you know, currently we have 80 plus companies are part of our ecosystem. And I think everyone has the same problem, you know, funding, growth. And I think those aspects, research plays a huge role that how do we validate women's health market for investment, right? So that was the reason that, you know, we are building different papers, white papers on sectors specific. So very excited to launch those very soon as well. We are also building overall industry report, which would be out in a month and a half, which talks about overall landscape and all. I feel this overall category, of course, you know, there's a huge lack of knowledge. And it also makes tough for companies in India creating women's health products. And again, not just the companies, but also looking at doctors, like broader healthcare community in India, how to really understand what Femtech or personalized or women's health technology is trying to create, because we've been dependent on, you know, traditional old methods that healthcare was very different 5 years back than now, right? So that was one of the main reason, and that's why it's one of the kind research project and first of its size in India, and to really understand women's across the country, to build better products, but also to kind of validate the market for investor point of view that why women's health matters overall. We conducted offline research. We had different volunteers from the different cities from tier two, three, four, including one as well.
Okay.
And we partner with local Anganwadi workers also, working in women's health and child development area, which is, government is doing great work. So for us to really understand the deeper problem of not just tier one city, but what is the overall problem in India and how can we build better product for masses in India, not just like tier one cities, which is personalized, very digitalized, which is great because technology is evolving and we have to adapt that. Even government is trying to do so much that, they're trying to make everything digital and healthcare would be digital for sure. So that's like a future we're looking at, right? So
Right.
that was done at very ground level, of course, working with local people to understanding the problems and then evaluating the market. How the overall landscape is evolving in India, especially.
Beautiful. That brings in a lot of clarity here.
Yeah.
So, I reached out to you through LinkedIn and I came across an infographic on this research,
Right.
and the infographic indicates that the women's health and wellness market in India is poised to achieve a value of $1.325 billion by 2030. And so, what could be some of the reasons that will lead to this growth?
Right. I'm actually very excited that incredible growth in this sector because I'm really passionate about what we are doing. And when we look at femtech startups are not just offering innovative products, and so they're also empowering and educating women about their health, right?
Right.
And I think education also has been bigger barrier. Like it has been kind of, I would say, when you, especially for tier two, three cities, that lack of access, lack of awareness. So I think education plays a huge role in which startups are trying to do that. So of course I will break it down to, coming back to awareness. As I said, femtech startups are doing that. They are breaking the silence around women's health, which is leading to more informed choices for women so they can decide what they want for their health, and which is great. That revolution did not happen before, and that's only happening with startups. So I think that's also one of the growing factors. India, we are seeing digital rise, which is increased internet access, which is empowering women to connect with platforms and resources, right? So the other factor I would also include is with, with the digital care is the privacy, right?
Right.
Like you are not in that phase of thinking someone's gonna judge me, right? So there is always of very non-judgmental, very personalized care. I would just go a little broader also, maybe like seeking a therapy, maybe someone who's gone through miscarriages, or someone going through multiple IVF cycles. Like the women's health category is so broader, right? So it just really cuts off that struggle, meeting in someone in person or probably trying to explain your problem. But like online resources are creating so much access to seek better health access for sure, but also getting that empathy and care, which is, creating femtech overall in women's health category. Another thing I would add on is the financial freedom, right? That growing disposable income allows Indian women to invest in their health, which is also creating a bigger market. We're seeing the rise of number of women who are doing leadership role, number of women who are working now. So they have a financial freedom. So when you are have a financial freedom, when you have awareness, when you have education, of course, women tend to make better health choices. So that is also one of the major aspect and contribution to the overall growth. Again, when I look at the government overall, I think our government has done such amazing work, and they are also contributing a lot how to empower overall. And there are a lot of schemes for women, you just talk about startups, their incubators, Also, schemes for women who are in tier two, three cities creating better menstrual hygiene access, doing contraceptive pills, which is at very low rate for tier three, four cities, right, for women. So I think the government schemes are overall, they are contributing. So I think exactly this is the right time. All these factors are, of course, contributing because when you are building something, of course, I think startups also have a huge opportunity to work with governments, especially when I say, someone's working in tier one city, but if you want to create a better access, you should definitely partner with government and, kind of make an impact, but also to maybe wider your audience and reach, and which can potentially make it as a huge market side for investors as well, which we are not seeing a lot that happening, but I'm sure in few, we are seeing a lot of startups now. It wasn't there 2 years back, but I have seen a lot of startups now. They really want to focus on tier two, three cities, and which is again great, right? And I think one of the major factor here is that, diverse solutions, right? The femtech actually caters to specific needs of women, which offering services or products from menstruation to menopause. So, they're very tailored solution for women. Someone probably who's going through periods, then women do transition into different stages of lives, right? So of course, they do need different services. They, as I said, femtech is women's health. Digital care is also overall very particular about empathy and care, and which is a great part of women's health overall. So I think all these factors are contributing, and I think that's these are factors, of course, drive growth potentially, and a lot of other opportunities too, like as I mentioned, government schemes, but also government laws. Like if you look at, in India, we have better laws than US in terms of termination of pregnancy, right? So
Right.
of course that also makes it our demographic power, number of women, also the digitalization India, that how we are creating, like everyone have access to mobiles, everyone have access to internet. So of course I think in coming years, these factors for sure will contribute and make the industry overall bigger, but also bring companies from globally to get into Indian market and maybe trying to create a major impact, which was not done before. So this is what I see overall.
I was just taking a look at the infographics once again, and I'm just curious that a significant portion of health and wellness products target 61% of working women, 27% of students, and 5% of homemakers, and 4% of other demographics. That's what I can understand. So, what are the reasons that these wellness products haven't reached across all the women demographics?
Yeah, you are actually absolutely right. As I said, like while the femtech industry is growing, there's a gap in reaching all demographics in India, right? I've already highlighted and all that, but there are some of the reasons. I think if we focus on like what is the main problem, why the industry is not able to contribute and grow in such a way, because as I mentioned, there is a huge potential, right, overall. So I think the factors are limited product reach. If we focus on, if we look at tier focus, so many femtech companies and startups, digital health, they primarily cater to urban India, which is tier one and two, right? Which again has a better internet access, better infrastructure. So rural areas three and four often lack awareness and access to these products. So that's one of the factors, why it hasn't reached tier two, three cities. Then second, one of the very, very main point is lack of investment in women's health startups, women's health tech startup overall. So I think funding is the major gap that women-led or femtech startups are are facing a lot of difficulties securing funding compared to male-dominated businesses, right? So we saw a lot of funding coming post-pandemic. 2023 has been the worst year for women's health tech startups and femtech overall. So I think also if we look at investors' point of view, they typically focus on like, okay, tier one cities has a better access, better infrastructure. You have a working women, they have a financial freedom. So I think all these factors, of course, also contribute. So they don't really, I don't really see that until unless like it's something really bigger business model. That's why the pharma industries or pharma guys have a bigger domination because they always target masses, right? They work on product and volumes. And whereas the women's health companies all trying to, they are all impact driven, they all passionate, they want to create a change, but same time they want to grow their businesses. So I think not having understanding of how tier two, three cities works, investors also kind of feel a little hesitant that if founder does not have a clarity about, it's like overall very different mindset, very different. If you look at women, how they understand women's health also will be very different. So I think that also I see kind of the factors. We don't see a lot of startups going into two, three cities, tier two, three cities. Distribution challenges, traditional distribution challenges might not reach smaller towns and villages where women may rely on local products, local stores, so local pharmacies, so whatever they have access to the local store, they usually rely on that, right? Because until unless they know there's something new has come up in the market, so which again comes back to resources, funding, and all that, right? I feel affordability as well. Cost barrier is also one of the huge factors that some products and services, especially those are with technologies, can be expensive, and this can exclude women, because they don't have financial freedom. Of course, the pricing model will be very different compared to tier one and two, three, like every city. So I think the cost is again the bigger barrier. Another thing I really want to highlight is, and I think I also feel this is a great opportunity as well if anyone trying to build something in women's health, is that we don't have insurance coverage. So many products and services in femtech and women's health technology are not covered by insurance. So that's again, if your insurance is not covering, that you're taking up all the cost and should I do it or not do it, right? So it's stopping. So in tier two, three cities, many women still rely on traditional methods like cloth. I think the lack of awareness about femtech products, it's like in tier two, three cities, I think all these points overall contributes that why it's not growing the way it should grow.
Okay, so could you also explain to us the market share of various women's health products in India as per your study?
Of course, we see menstrual care products has a large market share, which is around 35%, and and that's how femtech industry or women's health industry actually started in India, right? That creating very personalized solution. Period tracking was one of the thing which was founded by Ira Ten, the founder of Clume, and she's the mother of term femtech. So I think that's how overall industry started. But in India, again, looking at the demographic power, and we are consumer brand based. So I think that's why menstrual health products hold a major share, which is again your period cups to your tampons to panties and all other different products. Maternal care is around 25%. This segment is underlined importance placed on, prenatal, postnatal, lactate support and products and services. both. I would say then we have a product, personal and intimate hygiene, which is 20%, which comes under vaginal wash. There are creams, there are razors, all these products kind of also we're seeing that a lot of companies are doing it, and also sustainable products are coming in the market, which is great for environment and women as well, because they are toxin free. Then addressing other specific needs, it's 10% plus 5%. So 10% is typically for fertility and contraception, which contributes towards family planning and accessing birth control solution and all that. It was in diagnostics only 5%, while it's a smaller segment, and these represent an emerging space catering to specific needs for women in pre-menopause and menopause, along with the growing adoption of wearable and diagnostic tools for women's health monitoring. So, plus, we've also, I think we currently only have one company in India which is doing specifically menopause care, and I think is just the beginning of menopause industry in India. So I'm sure in coming year we will see a lot more growth, looking at the demographics, looking at number of working women. So I think numbers are huge, but like the market has to evolve again. Many women are not aware about what is menopause, what is pre-menopause. So I think awareness is building. So we will definitely see that sector also evolving in coming years.
Right. So we were just talking about menopause management products, right? So why is it at just 5% of market share? Any particular reasons?
So I think, of course, there are a few reasons, right? Like social stigma. 2.5 or 3 years back, we didn't even have a menopause in Hindi world. So can you imagine? Yeah, so that never existed, but now we do. So I'm just like, I mean, all these problems never existed before. Like 5 or 10 years back, nobody used to talk about PCOS, right? So I think we did not discover all these problems just with technology. No, because there was the problems were always there. But of course, I'm not just saying, the lifestyle changes, the digitalization, overall, everything is contributing into all these factors, and that women are facing all these issues, right? But the awareness was not there. And again, coming back to that's what women's health companies are trying to do. So I think social stigma is, of course, one of the main reason. Many women don't know about what is menopause. Menopause is actually when you stop your, periods, right? And then it also, there are so many problems. Then insomnia, women go through depression, mood swings. You probably would have noticed, I have noticed my mom behaving a certain way, but we didn't know. But it's just that she has those symptoms. Her body is changing. She stopped to menstruate. Her hormones are, it's all over the place. So I not many people understand, right? It's like once it stops, and what's next, right? So there was dedicated care and support created for that before. So I think that's still there. Why? Because see, menopause women are again different generation of women, right? Where they did not see technology, they did not see that openness of talking health problems. So now our generation of women, we understand, right? So I think these are the things still holding back to them. And of course, like many women are not aware of the symptoms also, what they're facing. They just feel okay, it's just normal, because they don't really, doctors don't talk about menopause when you go to gynecologist, right? And it's usually like, okay, not just that, but also women only go to gynecologist when they're planning pregnancy. Once they're done with pregnancy, they never go back until unless there is some issue. You're like, okay, I have to see my gynecologist because I'm facing some problem, right? But we don't have this pattern that, okay, this should be part of my regular healthcare checkup, right?
Correct.
And till you don't find out what symptoms do you have, you won't know, right? So I think, again, the lack of awareness is the one factor why this only 5%, because awareness is just started to build now. And as I said, there's only one company in India which is building in product. So we are talking about consumer and product. So that's why I'm highlighting that. And I mean, it's a very limited product availability, right? Which is that companies again trying, their focus is again on tier two, three cities, which is great because they're educating people, they're creating awareness, and women have products they can use, they can feel better, they can sleep better, right? All of that. Hormonal therapies, right? Those are again expensive. So not every woman can do that. So that's again not advisable for everyone. So I feel the stigma, the lack of awareness, limited product availability, and cost consideration is contributing only. That's why it's only 5%. But if we look at, as I said, demographics and overall, the market size is pretty big. So we're expecting to grow in coming years for sure.
Great. So what are your some of the recommendations that you would suggest to improve penetration of women's wellness products?
Again, I'm just repeating this word so many times, but I think it is important because kind of subject we are talking is actually it's 2024, and I don't think so. We need to talk about access and education, right? With AI and where even if my maid at home, she used online services to order her products, right? Which was there. So we've seen that. Industry evolving, India changing with UPI payments. We are trying to become digital, but why leave women's health overall, right? So I think, my thing would be that if we want to drive this further, collaborations, awareness, and education is important. An overall look at overall healthcare industry, we cannot ignore doctors or gynecologists or healthcare professionals who've been in the space for many years. So they are specialized in what they do, but they haven't evolved with the technology that, is they just the same doctor might just go to hospital, they're doing the regular things, whatever is there, but I'm not sure how well they have adapted that. How to create empathy care, digital care, all of that. Because we personally, I've spoken to so many doctors, and they're very interested about this, that we want to understand. So I think that's why collaborations are important, startups, healthcare professionals to come together to kind of partner, and where healthcare professionals and doctors, they have their own system of running, or providing services, startups have their own. So as I said, startups bring a lot of education and awareness factors. So how we can combine together and do the best healthcare service, not just for women, for everyone, right? I would also say, leverage digital platforms, social media communities, to kind of fill the education gap, promote evidence-based information, which can also probably create a safe space and open discussions. Community outreach programs for sure. We see NGOs always been doing great work. So I think maybe partnering with NGOs, women's health organizations to conduct workshops, education sessions, especially for rural India. If we want to see the landscape evolving, right? So, of course, when I talk about India, I just don't talk about tier one. I'm just including overall every single part of India, right? So I think it's very important to prioritize evidence, transparency, and science-backed. So when you're building for wellness industry, it's very important to prioritize transparency and science-backed products. And I think, I would heavily say this, invest in clinical trials. I know all these things cost money. You cannot do it alone. You have to get investors. You have to have someone, backing you up or collaborate with someone. But I think when you are building something from ground up, we do need products, which are clinical backed, and this is safe for women to use, right? And I also feel, clear communication, very important, what you're trying to build in, especially as I said, it is impact driven category. So especially I would say it's impact driven category. So you cannot just build anything. You're working toward mission. So I think, this science backed and clear communication and the clarity of the product is very, very important. Partnering with independent research institutes to verify your products or doing clinical trials would really help and potentially contribute to the industry growth as well. What I have noticed is one of the reasons why we wanted to do this report as well, that I've personally seen so many brands, and especially in tier two, three cities, trying to sell personalized product for women's health, and which has so much misinformation, right? So it's misleading consumer, promoting something, claiming, giving FDA approved, or I mean, I just don't want to name it. There's so many claims they make, and which is not correct. So again, it's important to, build for your consumer what they want, but not to mislead them. If like, especially as I said, tier two, three cities has a lot of education and awareness gap. So, build something which is good for everyone.
Thank you so much, Navneet, for joining with us today. It was a pleasure to have you with us. I'm sure our listeners would have gained a lot of insights from this conversation. Listeners, thank you for listening. We'll be back with yet another episode of Business Line Podcast.
Thank you.